four essentials to a healthy sexual relationship. And I hope by the time that I get done ministering into your spirit tonight, that we will destroy some myths. Praise the Lord. And that you and your spouse will begin to have or improve upon the relationship that you have sexually. So let me begin this teaching by giving you four specifics about sex. Because in order to understand what sex is, you must first understand what sex isn't. Amen? All right. Number one, sex is not dirty. It's not a bad word or a bad thing. Sex is a gift from God. It is holy when engaged with two people in a marriage union. Sex is not dirty. It is not a bad word or a bad thing. It is a gift from God, and it is holy when engaged with two people in a marriage union. Number two, sex is not a tool that is to be used to get your personal agenda across. God never intended for sex to be a form of manipulation that is used between couples. Sometimes in relationships, men and women will use sex as a manipulation tool. And I'll talk about that a little later on in the lesson. Sex is not to be shared with anyone besides your spouse. God prohibits any acts of sex, fornication, petting, y'all know what that is, or intercourse until you're married. And finally, sex is not a taboo subject that should be hidden or not discussed openly. You see, I believe it's better for the church and our children that are in here now to hear about sex from the pulpit instead of in the streets, the schools, on the television, and by their peers. Because most of what's being taught about sex is contrary to the Word of God. So I did curtail this teaching that the children can stay in and listen to what I'll be sharing with you. And I didn't get too raw. My wife and I will save that for the marriage retreat. All right. Now, let's talk about sex, four essentials to a healthy sexual relationship. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to Genesis chapter number 2. And I want to minister to you tonight. I want to help you. Is that all right? Somebody say, Pastor, help me. Help me to understand about sex. All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. And God said, it is not good for the man that the man should be alone. Watch this now. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Verse number 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be called one flesh. And they was both naked. That's in the Rick James version. They was both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So the first essential, if you're going to understand about sex, is it's not good for you to be alone. All the married folk are saying amen. The single people are saying, talk to me, Pastor. Talk about this because I'm alone right now. All right, I'm going to help you. God knew that a relationship between a man and a woman was important because if he didn't, he would have left Adam alone in the garden with dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and every living thing that moved upon the earth, but he would have had no one to share it with. So God created Adam a helpmeet because God gave Adam emotions and feelings that would have left him longing to be completed, and the void could not be fulfilled with animals. Likewise, beloved, when God created you, he gave you emotions and feelings. He programmed them into what's known as your psyche, your makeup. He gave you emotions and he gave you feelings that cause you to be attracted to the opposite sex, and there is a void that has to be filled. With a mate that God has created for you in a marital relationship. That's why I emphasized in verse number 18, I will make him a helpmeet for him. Because God said it's not good for man to be alone. This is why I believe that it's important that you prepare yourself to find your destiny partner, because God did not intend for you to be alone. This is my opinion now. Why we have so many sex crimes against minors perpetrated by men and women, because they're alone when God never intended for them to be alone. Yes, I understand that some people are called to celibacy, but everybody is not. And so, and this is just my opinion. This is not scripture, but my opinion is one of the reasons why you have so many sex crimes in churches. I'm not going to give names because this goes out on radio and different things like that. But y'all know which denomination I'm referring to, priests and things of that nature. I believe that's because they have chosen to be alone when God ain't created them to be alone. And God gave you emotions and feelings for the opposite sex. And those feelings cannot be fulfilled. And so what do? They find a little boy or they find a little girl in school. Listen to me closely. And they fondle him or her or sexually abuse her. Because they're alone when God never intended them to be alone. Now, I say again, sometimes God does call people to celibacy. There are cases of that. It's in scripture. Paul was called to celibacy. He never married, never had sex that we know about. Praise the Lord. But God doesn't call everybody to that type of lifestyle. I believe that God have intended for everybody to have a helpmeet if you're a man, and to have a female, and for a female to have a male in a marital relationship. Am I doing all right? So while you're waiting to find your destiny partner or helpmate, God will give you strength to live holy and stay pure. There's nothing wrong with being a virgin. Let me say that again. There's nothing wrong with being a virgin. Even though in these days it's uncommon, but it's God's way. Until he brings you into a marriage union with a destiny partner. If you're listening to me tonight by audio or in this congregation, and you're not a virgin and you've experienced sexual relationships with others whom you did not marry or wouldn't even think about marrying, don't y'all get quiet on me now, because we had a lot of relationships with folks outside of the marriage union, and when we was doing what we was doing, we wasn't thinking about no marriage. I got one amen. The rest of y'all looking at me kind of strange. All right. So I say, if you're not a virgin and you've experienced a sexual relationship with others whom you did not marry, you can rededicate yourself to God and vow to stay pure until marriage. Amen. All the singles say, I vow to God to stay pure until marriage. You can wait. You can hold out. You can become a spiritual virgin. Until your destiny partner brings you into a God-ordained marriage union. The devil is a liar. You can control your emotions and your feelings. I know people right now that have waited for 9 years, some longer than that. No, it's not easy, but it can be done with the power of the Holy Ghost working on the inside of you. Am I doing all right so far? So the first essential is it's not good for you to be alone. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Verse number 3 and verse number 4. The Bible said, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. So number 2 is sex is not optional. The scripture teaches us that the husband is required to render due benevolence to his wife, and his wife is required to render due benevolence to her husband. In other words, men, you can't stop the flow. Sisters, you can't close the shop or open it when it's convenient for you. You must render unto your husband whether or not he does what you want him to do, and or you must render to your wife, man, whether or not she does what you want her to do. It's totally against the scriptures if you're doing that. I said earlier that sex is not a tool. It's not a manipulation tool. God never intended for it to be that way. So you just can't open and close the shop when you get good and ready and base it upon whether or not your husband's being nice to you. All the brothers ought to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And likewise, the sisters, you should be shouting too, because the husband is not, according to the scriptures, to withhold from the wife. Oh, am I doing all right? Likewise, if she wants it all the time, the husband has to honor that and give her due benevolence and accommodate her. And if he wants it all the time, then the wife needs to accommodate him and give due benevolence. When you enter into a marriage union, it's one of the fringe benefits. It's due benevolence. In other words, it's owed and deserved by each of the spouses, no matter what the situations or circumstances are. Now, let me say this. Just because you and your spouse are sexually engaged doesn't mean that everything's okay within the relationship. All the sisters say, amen, preach, pastor, that's right. Because they're married couples right now, some are sitting in here, some are listening by audio, that are consistently engaged in sex, but there's an emotional disconnect. Men often confuse this and think because there's good sex that everything's okay between him and his wife, but this isn't always the case. You have to make sure that there's an emotional connection as well as a sexual connection. You have to be treating your spouse right. Hello. Loving her, caring for her, respecting her, preferring her, and not just flipping her in the bedroom. Oh, Jesus. Verse number 4 says that that you have no power over your body. So the scriptures teach us that once you enter into a marriage union, that your body now belongs to your spouse. So when it comes to making decisions that will affect your body, you must consider your spouse. Weight loss or weight gain. Hello. Cosmetic surgery. Body piercing. Hair, nails, makeup, clothing, etc. How many children you have? How often you want to have children? Whether or not to get your tubes tied, birth control, adoption. I believe that this is not the church's decision, but it's the family's decision, more specifically the husband and wife. Sisters, what you wear to church, what is too revealing or too form-fitting, what is appropriate or not appropriate, these are decisions that are made in the household by the husband and the wife. And if you're not married, then the Holy Spirit is your guide. So if you're a single sister and you're not married, the Holy Spirit should share with you what you should wear. It's not the church's responsibility to teach those things to you if you're in a marriage union. Now, some churches you come into, they say things like, you know, the sisters can't wear pants because the pants are too revealing. Crazy. Control. So then they put on a short dress. They got a skirt on, but that's revealing too. Beats me. It's a decision that should be made within the household. Sisters sometimes come out the house into the church or to the 7-Eleven or to the grocery store with form-fitting clothes. Y'all know what form-fitting clothes are, right? Praise the Lord. I know y'all go outside of church. See a lot of form-fitting clothes, low-cut blouses, short skirts. Amen. But it's the husband's responsibility to share with his wife what is appropriate and not appropriate. Now, as I wouldn't want my wife going out there and everybody seeing what I got. Praise the Lord. But at the same token, I don't want her wearing long skirts and cotton stockings either. So it comes to a question of me being comfortable in who I am and comfortable in who she is. And then if she finds something or wears something that's not appropriate, then we discuss it together. Am I doing all right? All right, now, I know y'all want to hear the good stuff, so I'm going to try to hurry up and get to that. Number 3, verse number 5, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. So number 5 is sex should be ongoing. Sex should be ongoing. Sex should be ongoing because God created sex for couples to enjoy wherever and whenever they desire to engage in it with reason and privacy. As long as you and your spouse respect one another's privacy, it can be spontaneous. Well, baby, let's dip. Let's do our thing. Let's do the do. Let's make love. Hello. It can be creative. I'm trying to be nice because the kids are in the back. You know, can be in the bed. Can be on the floor. Laundry room. Hello. Am I doing all right? It can be creative. You know, y'all married couples know what I mean by that. Intimate, passionate, long, short, or it can be quick. Y'all know about that too. Listen to me closely. Sex is healthy because it often relieves stress, tension, and frustrations that we face during the course of a day. According to the scriptures, it should be ongoing and stopped only with consent from each other and for a time. Again, according to the scriptures, listen to me closely. Both couples have to agree that the sex will cease, and only when both couples have given themselves to fasting and prayer. Now, I grew up old school, and a lot of the old saints, I guess they didn't like having sex with their husbands. I don't know. But I know some old saints. I know what I'm talking about, y'all. It may be comical, but my wife knows what I'm talking about. They used to say that it was based upon if one of the couples was in fasting and prayer. But that's not what the Bible say. Am I in the Word? Let's read the Word. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye, both of you, may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. So, according to the scriptures, if sex is going to cease, then it's only when both of you are in fasting and prayer. Now, I know that don't always happen in relationships because some spouses choose to fast and the other spouse may not choose to fast. In cases of that nature, you cannot go on a fast and defraud sexual intercourse from your partner unless both of you are in agreement. Is that fair enough? And then you agree for a time. You say, well, baby, you know, I'm going on a 7-day fast. You know, because when you fast, that's your time to give yourself wholly to God. And you're not giving yourself to your wife or to your husband. And so when you're fasting, that's what that means. And so you both have to be in agreement that you're going to do it for 3 days, 7 days, 12 hours, what have you. And then the scriptures say, come back together again so that Satan cannot tempt you. So as soon as the fast is over, brothers, y'all need to come back together again, because Satan will begin to tempt you with other things and other people when there's an absence of sex in the relationship. That's why the Bible says Satan will tempt you because of your inconsistency. Because when you defraud your husband or you defraud your wife of a sexual relationship, you rob them of that God-given right, then the devil knows how to make the secretary they see every day smell real good. Y'all mighty quiet in here. So you can lock up if you want to. And brothers, you can stop doing your benevolence if you want to, but there's somebody else that the devil will get inside of that will tempt them to go other ways. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's an excuse for adultery or fornication, but I am saying that's what happens when the devil gets involved. So to keep the devil out of your relationship, you need to be having sex. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. All right. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm going to spend a little time in here tonight, and then we're going to go home. This blessing anybody? You learning something? Amen. I still got some things I'm going to clear up, and if we finish early, I might even take some questions and answers. Y'all all right with that? I got questions, Pastor. I got questions. Number 4, Hebrews 13, chapter 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So number 4 is sex should be fulfilling. Many married couples ask, what is appropriate? What can my spouse and I do? What sexual acts are appropriate and what is inappropriate? What does God approve of and what does God not approve of? First of all, let me say that I do not feel that it's the church's responsibility to tell you and your mate what's appropriate and inappropriate. I'm going to free some folks up tonight. There are too many couples in jeopardy. I know what I'm talking about. Because someone from the pulpit told them what was acceptable and unacceptable in the marriage bed, and they based their sexual satisfaction and fulfillment on what was said, and that's control. It's people right now that are married and can't have a fulfilling sexual relationship, both their parties, because they base it on what somebody told them from the pulpit. And it was never the pulpit's responsibility to teach you and your mate what was acceptable and unacceptable in the bedroom. Am I doing all right? We're going to go a little further. Some will say you can only do it one way. I think that's missionary style. I just threw that out there. I just sensed the leading. I don't know if that was the leading of the Lord, but I just threw that out there. Some will say you can't do this. Some will say you can't do that. Some will say you can't have oral sex. Well, the scriptures teach us here that the marriage bed is undefiled. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that there's nothing in the marriage bed that defiles. In other words, as long as you are in a marital relationship, your sexual relationship, how you satisfy your partner, cannot be polluted. Therefore, whatever you and your spouse choose to do to satisfy each other is okay. Why? Because sex should be fulfilling for both parties involved. Am I doing all right? We're going to go a little further. Can I go a little further? As long as you and your spouse are comfortable with how you choose to satisfy one another, it doesn't hurt your spouse. Amen. It doesn't degrade him or her, doesn't embarrass her, doesn't humiliate him or her, then I believe that it's okay with God. And I base my beliefs on what is written here in this scripture. Let's read it again. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is what? Undefiled. Am I doing all right? Now let me clarify. Can I clarify? Feel that Otis Lockett anointing again. Some things you should not be doing, like watching X-rated pornographic films. Am I doing all right? Inviting people over for sex parties, orgies, participating in prostitution, child molestation, child pornography. That's not okay. And just because the Bible say that the marriage bed is undefiled, that don't mean that you can bring two or three other folks in to participate with what's done in the privacy of your own home. Am I doing all right? So you shouldn't be watching no pornographic film. You know, I love my wife. I don't need no porno to get me in the mood. Praise the Lord. Some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't listen to Luther and you shouldn't listen to love songs. Hey, everybody can't get it on Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. Everybody can't get aroused on Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Everybody can't get aroused on We Lift Our Hands in the Sanctuary. Now, we're going to be lifting hands. But am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
So that's between you and the Holy Spirit. You know, if you got a little Luther you got to play, or you got a little so-and-so that you play to get you and your spouse in the mood, then, you know, the best pastor can tell you, if the Holy Spirit don't convict you on that, then you all right with God. A lot of pastors and ministers of the gospel won't say that because they try to control what goes on in the bedroom. And God never intended the church to control what goes on in the bedroom. There are some things that you share intimately between a husband and wife that the church got nothing to do with. Hello. Can I say something else? Most folk that tell you what to do and what not to do is jealous because they can't do what they... So they try to base their sexual relationship, what they can do, what satisfies them, they kind of try to control that with you. And that was never the intent of God. God don't want no pastor telling you how to make love to your wife, when to make love to your wife. That's control. Y'all getting free in here tonight? Oh, Lord. This is one of them places where I need one of them Hammond organs. Give me one of them. Dun-uns. Now, here's God's issue when it comes to defiling the marriage bed, if it's to be defiled. Latter portion of this scripture. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That's the only thing God says. So what are whoremongers and what are adulterers? Those that participate in sexual acts outside of a marriage union. Premarital sex. If you're having sex before you get married, God don't approve of that. Approve in testing the milk before you buy the cow. God don't approve in heavy petting. I would even go to say God don't approve in French kissing. Because French kissing can arouse you sexually. You and your destiny partner have to learn what's acceptable and to keep pure and holy before God. Hallelujah. Because I tell you what, once those emotions start flying, it's like putting a truck in gear. You know what I'm talking about? Once you put y'all truck drivers in here, once you put it in gear, you know, you either going up the incline or you speeding down the hill, and you ain't putting on no brakes. And so if you're single and you got a destiny partner, you're going into a destiny partner, you have to be careful how you conduct yourself. That's why I don't recommend, you know, you spending a whole lot of time alone. Because I shared with you earlier, God gave everybody feelings and emotions. And so when you're alone with that person you're not married to, those feelings and emotions are going to fly. And so you have to keep yourself from all appearances of evil. That's what the Bible says. Finally, what should I do, Pastor, if I'm in a relationship where the thrill is gone? And the fire is burning out, or it already burned out. Ain't no more fire. Ain't no, you know, it just ain't burning. Be spontaneous. Be willing to experiment and try new things. Get a make. Change your hairstyle. Change your outfits. Buy some lingerie. Y'all know what a lingerie is, right? It's really lingerie, you know. Take your husband in Victoria's Secrets with you, sisters. Let him know what the secret is. Tell him the secret. I'm telling y'all, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with the man going in Victoria's Secrets and shopping for his boo or his wife. See, the church been lying to us for too long, y'all. They telling you you're in sin if you're going Victoria's Secret. You're in sin if you're going to underwear drawer. You're in sin if you're buying thongs. You're just in sin. I'm trying to figure out, well, what can we do? I thought that's why we got married. Hello? Am I doing all right? Plan a date. Go out together. Spend some quality time with one another. Walk in the park, take a drive, go to dinner, see a movie. Hello. Go to the movies. You know, you got to watch what you see, but it's not a sin to go to the movies. Some people will tell you it's a sin to go to the movie. It's a sin to rent video. Lord have mercy. When they get done, when you get done with your long list, what is there left to do? Go to church and Bible study. And you know what? That's all they do. And they want, let me stop. They want what they do to, let me. Go out of town. Get a hotel room. Married couples now. That's right, First Lady. Because the singles be like, Pastor said, I heard it. He said for us to get a hotel, married couples now. Break up the monotony. Change the norm. Stop being predictable. When you become predictable spouses, you become boring. When your husband know what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, you know, three little squeals and, you know, a couple of shakes. Am I doing all right? Sisters, you know, a couple of twists and a few leg shakes. Am I doing all right? I'm just trying to help y'all be free. I'd rather y'all hear it in here than to hear it outside and hear it unpure, but hear it holy here and hear it in the righteous way versus the unrighteous way. Surprise your spouse. Blow their minds. Take it to another level. You can recover, you can reignite the passion, you can have a relationship of excellence and integrity at every level. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Some of y'all ought to be shouting up in here. Up in here, up in here, up in here. All right. Now, I'm going to take about 5 minutes. You can cut the tape.